Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Top story tonight, President Biden's vaccine mandates are receiving backlash from conservatives who fear our days as a perfect freedom-loving snuff film may be drawing to a close.
But you better get the vaccine or Dr. Joe Biden is going to unleash the full force of the federal government against you and your loved ones and your employer. And you will be canceled in society altogether. You'll be shut out of everything.
Can you imagine being canceled from society altogether, all because your body is decomposing in a medical waste bin? Meanwhile, in Florida, governor and graveyard completionist Ron DeSantis had this to say about President Biden.
This is a guy that promised when he ran for president that he would shut down the virus. If you look now, there's 300% more cases in this country today than a year ago when we had no vaccines at all. So his policies are not working.
President Biden's policies are a complete failure against people willing to contract COVID as a means of making Biden look like a complete failure. Barry, you're a legendary director of films such as Men in Black and Get Shorty. Would you say that, if anything, Hannity and DeSantis are under-dramatizing Biden's threat of tyranny?
James, let me say this. I have a piece of paper here which I'd like to read to you.
Ooh.
It's from the 1904 Supreme Court ruling, which was 7-2, when someone refused to get vaccinated for smallpox. The Supreme Court said, there are manifold restraints to which every person is necessarily subject for the common good. Everyone had to be vaccinated for smallpox. In addition, James, everyone is required to be vaccinated before going to school for measles, smallpox, all these diseases. These people are true idiots.
Well, I think you lost Hannity and DeSantis at the words common good.
Biden is completely perverting the federal government's role. He's supposed to force Americans to end their lives overseas, not continue living them here at home.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is a political winner for Joe Biden. We took a really strong federal government stance against smoking, and now look, I saw an ashtray once 3 weeks ago.
I must say, we've seen this time and again. The first sign of authoritarianism is the president telling citizens to take some medicine so they don't kill their kid's school teacher.
Absolutely. It's
scary
a slippery
stuff.
Slope. You were going to say it was a slippery slope?
No, I said scary. I said it's scary stuff.
It's also
it's
scary.
It's a scary, slippery slope.
It's a scary, slippery slope. Moving on to the latest on President Trump's shadow presidential campaign. Trump spent 9/11 commemorating Americans' freedom to provide commentary for a pay-per-view boxing match. Here's the president's somber words honoring all 2,997 brain cells lost in the boxing ring that day.
Hard rock in Florida, and we're going to have hopefully a very great night with a lot of great champions, and they're going to be, to them, they're going to be having a good time.
Guys, I think this is going to be a lot of levity at the end of a rather somber day. Have a little bit of fun. Don't forget to shoot me your questions. I may have to finally twist his arm a little bit to find out about Area 51 and the aliens and whatever else you may want to ask about. So We're going to have some fun at the end of a somber day.
Beautiful statement. Don Jr. really drove home the message that 9/11 was kind of a bummer. Meanwhile, one of the biggest names in 9/11, Rudy Giuliani, commemorated the day by drinking jet fuel.
Tony Blinken or Miley? How's that guy a general? Jesus. The other day, he said that the Bagram Air Force Base is not strategically important. I wanted to grab his, what do you have, 5 stars, 10 stars, 12 stars? He has so many stars, they're coming up into his ears. I wanted to grab his stars, shove it down his throat, and say, it's 400 miles from China, asshole. China is going to be our enemy for the next 40 years. You have an air base 400 miles from them, and you're giving it up, idiot. What the hell is wrong with you? Who paid you? That is crazy. I don't know. I shouldn't get into this. What Biden did in the last 2 weeks is freaking insane.
To be fair to Rudy, sometimes you need to kick back a few to be loose enough to share your foreign policy expertise. Now, Barry, obviously President Trump and his colleagues are putting the pieces in place for a formidable 2024 presidential campaign. Yeah. Will Biden look weak if he doesn't spend Pearl Harbor Day encouraging old men to fight?
These people are deplorable. My wife and I have had 3 run-ins with Donald Trump in our lives. In fact, I was directing a movie in Florida and was invited to lunch at Mar-a-Lago. My wife and myself and my daughter and my producing partner at the time were having breakfast with Trump in his dining room. We all were given breakfast and Trump was given an entire plate that had nothing but bacon on it.
Nothing weird about that.
We crossed over some lawn and he said, "See this lawn? Lawn Magazine says this is the single greatest lawn on the planet." We were standing in front of the spa, which has these 2 big doors, and he literally said to us, "Spa Door Magazine says these are the greatest spa doors in the history of spa." This is a man who's so insecure that he has to go to that level of stupidity.
Well, check, 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 check. He's on a tank, tank, he's on a tank, tank.
There's a simple truth about our history, which has somehow been muddied through decades of self-serving revisionism by racists and apologists for white supremacy, and that is that the Confederacy was a movement of anti-American traitors and slavers who tried to destroy this country. I can't believe that even has to be said, but apparently it does. I mean, there are people out there who don't even know what the Civil War was about, like, for example, the former president of the United States.
People don't realize, you know, the Civil War, You think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Yeah, people don't ask the question, why was there the Civil War? Just like we don't ask, how many sides does a triangle have? Or is a snake a reptile? Because we learned all that in grade school, at least those of us who weren't following our dad to construction sites to watch him yell at immigrants. What do you mean? Don't ask that question. It was a white supremacist rebellion against the government, not a fight between my wife and her sister. What are they mad about? Don't ask. I mean, I know Donald Trump doesn't live in our reality, but it's still interesting to find out stuff about his reality. Like, I guess in his reality, the local libraries only have one book on the Civil War called What the Heck Was All This Nonsense About? Also, I like that he wants to know why could that not have been worked out? Yeah, why couldn't you get the top Union generals and the top Confederate generals in a room, stick Andy Cohen in the middle, and talk it down over some skinny marks? I mean, seriously, you don't have to be the chair of a college history department to know that the Confederacy and its leaders were evil. Unfortunately, part of the reason we have to keep stating that obvious fact about the evil of the Confederacy and the reality of the Civil War is that shortly after the end of the war and Reconstruction, a racist, revisionist lost cause movement rose up to cast the leaders of the Confederacy as a noble gentleman instead of the defeated traitors and white supremacists that they were. Nowadays, lots of us don't even learn about Reconstruction and the post-Civil War period in history class. I mean, I can't believe people are worried about critical race theory when my history textbook jumped from the Civil War to the Great Depression. And that's why there was a giant statue of Robert E. Lee on a horse looming over the old Capitol of the Confederacy in Richmond for 130 years because white supremacists and Confederacy apologists tried to recast him as some sort of noble hero, even though it was known at the time by actual Civil War heroes that Lee was a traitor who disgraced himself. Ulysses S. Grant said the cause Lee fought for was, I believe, one of the worst for which a people ever fought and one for which there was the least excuse. Well, yesterday, finally, after 130 years, that wretched monument to an evil cause was finally taken down with a crowd gathering to celebrate as Lee was hauled away.
The nation's largest Confederate monument just came down. The giant Robert E. Lee statue in Richmond, Virginia, which is 6 stories tall and weighs 12 tons, well, it was just removed. Shaq, what is the community saying about this? What was it like to watch this?
Stephanie, I'll tell you, there were celebrations, there were cheers, there were chants.
First of all, as a baseball fan, I love the crowd taunting him like he's a Yankees reliever in Fenway who just got pulled after coughing up 6 runs in the bottom of the 8th. There should have been an angry Sox fan there pouring beer on his head. There's nothing more humiliating than being carried away on a horse in the air. When you're sitting astride a horse on the ground, you look like a noble hero, but when you're sitting on one in the sky getting lifted up by a crane, you look like a porta potty getting hauled away after Burning Man or a guy who glued himself to his horse and now can't get out the front door. Ah, it happened again, Raymond. Anyone who loves America should be watching this scene and celebrating along with the crowd. A monument to a traitor who fought for an evil cause, the cause of slavery, white supremacy, and who tried to destroy the United States has finally been taken down. But you'll never guess who had a slightly different take on things.
Former President Donald Trump issued a statement calling the removal a, quote, complete desecration, and lamenting that Lee was not available to lead the United States in Afghanistan.
Trump said in a statement, quote, if only we had Robert E. Lee to command our troops in Afghanistan, that disaster would have ended in a complete and total victory many years ago. What an embarrassment we are suffering because we don't have the genius of a Robert E. Lee.
First of all, Dingus, you're from Queens. It's pretty hard to remake yourself as a good old boy when you sound like a super in Astoria. Seriously, what do you mean it would have ended in victory if Lee was in charge? He lost. He's famous for losing, but ah, yes. If only Robert E. Lee had been in charge in Afghanistan, then surely he would have said something inspirational like, is that a missile? All I have is a bayonet and I'm glued to my horse. Get me out of here. Trump also called it a beautiful piece of bronze sculpture. And if Trump ever calls anything beautiful, you know it's the opposite. I mean, look at his apartment. It looks like the set of an 80s game show called Gold Rush. Of course, I wouldn't recommend taking history lessons from a guy who, among other things, praised Nazis, sowed an insurrection where rioters carried the Confederate flag, thought Frederick Douglass was still alive, didn't know why the Civil War happened in the first place, and thought there were airports during the Revolutionary War.
The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airports. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do.
That's right. Who can forget the infamous Battle of LaGuardia, where Patrick Henry famously said, give me priority boarding or give me death. Here's why the peanuts are free now. You just have to pay for the peanuts. To this day, school children still take trips to the Buffalo Wild Wings in Terminal D, where Washington's army camped out during the winter. And we all remember the words of British General Charles Cornwallis, who upon surrendering said, we just want to leave LaGuardia. Where is ground transportation? The signs are very confusing. This is the guy the Republican Party has made its leader, the guy they've lined up behind, a guy who sowed an insurrection to overthrow democracy, oversaw the preventable deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, and praised traitors and racists.
This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics for you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. It was the loveliest party that I've ever attended. If anything was broken, I'm sure it this is where the party ends. I just sit here wondering how you stand by your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you, you and your racist friend. This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend.
Remember how anxious you were in the final days of the previous presidency? Well, it turns out, now that we're through it, I think we can say in hindsight that maybe we should have been a little more terrified, because we're getting new details about the last days of the last administration of the Lard Father. In the new tell-all from Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, peril. Turns out 2 days after the January 6th insurrection, Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley feared the former president would launch a nuclear war.
Nuclear war. Yeah. Nuclear war. Yeah. They're talking about. Yeah. Nuclear war. Yeah. Nuclear war. Yeah. The nuclear war. Yeah. They're talking about. Nuclear war.
That is a bombshell revelation. A bombshell about a bombshell that could bring about the revelation. But going nuclear makes sense for the former president. After all, he is a fat man who acts like a little boy. Apparently, true story. Apparently, General Milley believed the then president had gone into a serious mental decline in the aftermath of the election. That's pretty frightening, but not surprising. We all know the former president has problems with declines. So, General Milley, trying to do something. A little nervous?
Yeah,
a little nervous.
Going down.
General Milley single-handedly took top secret action to limit the former president from potentially ordering a dangerous military strike or launching nuclear weapons. What he did was he changed the nuclear codes to something the president would never be able to figure out, his children's birthdays. It wasn't just our generals who were convinced the president was going to start a war. The Chinese government believed the United States was preparing to attack based on tensions over military exercises in the South China Sea and deepened by the president's belligerent rhetoric toward China. That's how serious it was. China was afraid the former president was going to bomb his daughter's purse factories. It was so lovely material. Oh, beautiful quality. The quality. It was so plausible that General Milley felt compelled to call the Chinese and say, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything's going to be okay. We are not going to attack. That's not reassuring. That's like a babysitter calling while you're at dinner to say, I want to reassure you that the twins are stable. Everything's going to be okay. They're not going to set the garage on fire or do anything else with the matches I let them play with. How attached were you to the dog? Book also talks about how much pressure was put on Mike Pence by old Bone Spurs and Harmony. On January 5th, Pence told the then president that vice presidents don't have the power to overturn an election. As MAGA heads were cheering outside, the president turned to Pence and said, if these people say you had the power, wouldn't you want to? Pence replied, I wouldn't want any one person to have that authority, to which the former president said, but wouldn't it be almost cool to have that power? Always nice to hear the words like cool attached to flagrant abuses of power. Like when Nixon said, hey Henry, wouldn't it be groovy if we secretly bombed Cambodia? Cowabunga, dude! The VP would not budge, which infuriated the saditionist, who screamed, you don't understand, Mike, you can do this. I don't want to be your friend anymore if you don't do this. That, I gotta say, that must have been tough to hear. But then again, the next day at the Capitol riot, Mike Pence found some new friends to hang with. Bob Woodward. So sad.
And bottom line, Vice President Pence didn't ultimately accede to Trump's wishes to block the certification of the election, to overturn the election results, to leave Trump in power, or to render the election results unknowable. But it was not, apparently, for a lack of him trying to find a way to do that. This is from Woodward and Costa. Quote, in late December, Pence phoned former Vice President Dan Quayle. At 74, the once boyish-looking Quayle was living the private golf-playing life he loved in Arizona. The two men shared a unique profile, Indiana Republicans who had become vice president. Pence phoned because he wanted advice. Despite the Electoral College casting its ballots for Biden back on December 14th, Trump was convinced that Pence could somehow throw the election to Trump on January 6th when Congress met to certify the final count. Pence explained to his fellow Indianan, Dan Quayle, that Trump was pressuring him to intervene to ensure Biden wouldn't secure the needed 270 votes during the certification and push the election to a vote in the House of Representatives. If thrown to the House, there was a twist. And Trump was fixated on this twist, Pence said. It was the provision that could, theoretically at least, keep Trump in power. While the Democrats held the current House majority, the 12th Amendment of the Constitution stated that the voting on a contested election wouldn't be done by a simple majority vote in the House. Instead, the amendment says the election vote would be counted in blocks of state delegations with one vote per state. Republicans controlled more delegations in the House of Representatives, meaning Trump would likely win if the House chamber ended up deciding the victor based on the prescripts of that amendment. Former Vice President Dan Quayle thought Trump's suggestion was preposterous and dangerous. Trump's effort to cajole Pence was a dark Rube Goldberg-like fantasy, Quayle believed, and could precipitate a constitutional crisis. Quayle told Mike Pence, quote, Mike, you have no flexibility on this. None. Zero. Forget it. Put it away. Pence said in reply, I know. That's what I've been trying to tell Trump. But he really thinks he can. And there are other guys in there saying, I've got this power. I've... Quayle interrupted him. You don't. Just stop it, he said. Pence pressed again. It was easy for Quayle to make a blanket statement from political winter. He wanted to know, veep to veep, whether there was even a glimmer of light, legally and constitutionally, to perhaps put a pause on the certification if there were ongoing court cases and legal challenges. Quayle repeated, forget it. Pence finally agreed. Acting to overturn the election would be antithetical to his traditional view of conservatism. One man could not effectively throw the election to the House of Representatives. Quayle told Pence to let it go. Mike, don't even talk about it, he said. Pence paused. You don't know the position I'm in, he said.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.